FM.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
It's been more than 15 days that I've come out and found nothing. Even when aid was available, I got nothing. I'm not eating. If I don't go out like this to get food aid, even if it means dying, I won't survive.
Starvation in Gaza. Facing growing international pressure, Israel allows a trickle of aid into Gaza, but the UN calls it a drop in the ocean. We'll go to central Gaza for an update. Then, for the second time in less than 2 months, Israeli forces raid a civilian aid ship in international waters bound for Gaza with baby formula, diapers, food, and medicine on board.
We demand that you stand down. That you not attack the civilian vessel that is carrying only humanitarian aid. Why are you afraid of baby formula and teddy bears that are destined for the children of Gaza?
That's Palestinian human rights attorney Houaida Araf, flotilla organizer. We'll speak with her after she's just been released from detention. And finally, in an attempt to quell the MAGA-based uproar over the Trump administration's refusal to release the files of dead serial sex abuser Jeffrey Epstein, Trump's deputy attorney general, who was Trump's former private lawyer, just finished 2 days of meetings with convicted felon Ghislaine Maxwell, serving a 20-year sentence for conspiring with Epstein to sexually abuse young girls. What are Trump's plans for her?
Would you consider a pardon or a commutation for Ghislaine Maxwell if
it's something I haven't thought about? It's something I'm allowed to do, but it's something I have not thought about.
We'll speak with Vicki Ward, longtime investigative journalist and host of the series Chasing Ghislaine, the untold story of the woman in Epstein's shadow. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Health officials in Gaza say at least 14 Palestinians have starved to death over the past day, bringing the total to at least 147, including 88 children. Facing growing international pressure, Israel's allowed some additional aid into Gaza, including by airdrops, but the UN says it's still just a drop in the ocean of what's needed. Israel also said it'll pause attacks for periods of the day in parts of Gaza, but the death toll keeps climbing. Earlier today, Israeli forces opened fire at two food sites. On Sunday, Israeli forces killed 9 Palestinians and injured 54 who gathered along an aid convoy route in central Gaza. Earlier today, 2 leading Israeli human rights groups, B'Tselem and Physicians for Human Rights, issued reports accusing Israel of committing genocide in Gaza. Yuli Novak, the director of B'Tselem, said, quote, "What we see is a clear, intentional attack on civilians in order to destroy a group. I think every human being has to ask himself, what do you do in the face of genocide?" Unquote. On Sunday, Hamas chief Khalil al-Haya accused Israel of sabotaging ceasefire negotiations.
"There is no point in continuing negotiations under blockade, extermination, and starvation of our children, women, and people in the Gaza Strip. The immediate dignified entry of food and medications to our people is the real and serious expression of the viability of continuing negotiations."
This comes as officials in Gaza say more than 40,000 infants under 1 year old are at risk of a slow death due to a catastrophic shortage of baby formula. On Friday, scores of Palestinians scrambled for food at a makeshift soup kitchen in Gaza City.
I have a 2.5-year-old daughter. When she saw the empty pot, she started to slap her face. There's no food, no water. I gave her a sip of water to make her stop. Then our neighbor gave her half a loaf of bread. He told her, take this, eat. We are living with no food or drink, no food, no bread, not even water. We're craving even the water.
Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu denies there's starvation in Gaza.
Israel is presented as though we are applying a campaign of starvation in Gaza. What a bold-faced lie. There is no policy of starvation in Gaza, and there is no starvation in Gaza.
For the second time in less than 2 months, Israeli forces have raided a civilian aid ship bound for Gaza in international waters. The Freedom Flotilla Coalition was attempting to break the Israeli siege by sailing the Handala ship to Gaza with baby formula, diapers, food and medicine on board. On Saturday night, Israeli forces seized the aid and detained the ship's crew of 21 civilians, including parliamentarians, human rights lawyers and journalists. Just before the raid, one of the flotilla organizers, Hueda Araf, spoke by phone with the Israeli forces from the ship.
This vessel carries food and baby formula for children that your government is deliberately starving. Your blockade is deliberately starving children to death. You have no authority to enforce an illegal blockade. This is a war crime.
We'll speak with the Palestinian-American human rights lawyer, Hueda Araf, later in the broadcast. The Pentagon says it killed a senior Islamic State leader and two other members of ISIS in Aleppo, Syria, in a raid Friday. The Pentagon says the men posed a threat to U.S. forces and the new Syrian government. This comes weeks after the U.S. lifted most economic sanctions on Syria. On Sunday, the head of Syria's Electoral Commission announced the country is set to hold its first parliamentary election under the new government in September. The United States and European Union have announced a deal to avert a transatlantic trade war. Under the deal, the U.S. would impose a 15% tariff on most European imports, a large increase over the current rate, but far smaller than what Trump had threatened. The EU also agreed to purchase more than $750 billion of energy products from the U.S. and invest an additional $600 billion in the U.S. Trump's announced deal in Scotland, where he met with the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen.
We have a deal. We have a trade deal between the two largest economies in the world. And it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. It will bring stability. It will bring predictability. That's very important for our businesses on both sides of the Atlantic. It's 15% tariffs across the board, all inclusive.
President Trump is meeting with British Prime Minister Keir Starmer today in Scotland. On Saturday, anti-Trump protests were held in the Scottish cities of Edinburgh and Aberdeen, while Trump played golf at his luxury resort, Trump Turnberry. In Edinburgh, protesters called on European leaders to stand up against Trump.
We want them to stand up for the people in Palestine. We want them to stand up for the people in Ukraine. We want them to stand up against Trump's bullying of tariffs all around the world.
A federal judge has dismissed a lawsuit by the Trump administration against the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois over its sanctuary policies that limit cooperation with federal immigration agencies. U.S. District Judge Lindsey Jenkins said the sanctuary policies are protected by the 10th Amendment of the Constitution. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker praised the ruling, saying it'll ensure state law enforcement is, quote, not carrying out the Trump administration's unlawful policies or trouble tactics, unquote. In an attempt to quell the MAGA base uproar over the Trump administration's refusal to release the files of the dead serial sex abuser Jeffrey Epstein, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, President Trump's former private lawyer, held a second day of meetings on Friday with Ghislaine Maxwell, who's serving a 20-year sentence for conspiring with Jeffrey Epstein. Blanche met with Maxwell for 9 hours at the federal courthouse in Tallahassee, Florida. On Friday, Trump was questioned if he's considered pardoning Maxwell.
Would you consider a pardon or a commutation for Ghislaine Maxwell if she's cooperating?
It's something I haven't thought about. It's really something I'm allowed to do, but it's something I have not thought about.
We'll speak with investigative journalist Vicky Ward about Ghislaine Maxwell and the serial sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein later in the broadcast. In international news, Malaysia's president says Thailand and Cambodia have agreed to a, quote, immediate and unconditional ceasefire set to begin at midnight. 33 people have been killed, thousands displaced since fighting erupted last week. The conflict between the two countries dates back to over a century ago during France's occupation of the region. Doctors Without Borders says 652 children have died of malnutrition in the Nigerian state of Katsina during the first half of this year. The charity said the deaths were due to funding cuts from international donors, particularly from the United States, the United Kingdom, and the European Union. In eastern Congo, Islamic State-backed rebels killed 38 people and injured 15 at a Catholic church on Sunday. Officials told Reuters the rebels wielded guns and machetes and attacked worshipers who were taking part in night mass. Several others are still missing. Ukraine and Russia continued to trade drone attacks. On Saturday, Ukraine said 200 Russian drones and 30 missiles targeted Dnipro, killing three people. In Russia, two people died in a Ukrainian drone strike. Meanwhile, Reuters has revealed new details about the role Elon Musk has personally played in the war in Ukraine. In 2022, when Ukraine pushed to regain some of its territory back from Russia, Reuters reports Musk ordered the shutdown of Ukraine's access to his Starlink satellite service. The Ukrainian offensive stalled as its drones monitoring Russian forces went dark. A source told Reuters the decision allowed Musk to take, quote, the outcome of a war into his own hands, unquote. The New York Times reveals the Trump administration's trying to keep secret how much it'll cost to renovate the $400 million jumbo luxury jet recently gifted to the Trump administration from the royal family of Qatar. The Times noted $934 million has been mysteriously transferred from a project to modernize the U.S. nuclear arsenal. While federal funds will pay for the renovations, the plane will be transferred to Trump and his presidential library after he leaves office. The congressional-funded U.S. Institute of Peace has a new head, State Department official Darren Beatty. During Trump's first term, Beatty served as a White House speechwriter, but was fired for speaking at a gathering of prominent white nationalists. Last year, he posted a message on X, writing, quote, competent white men must be in charge if you want things to work, unquote. After coming under bipartisan pressure, the Trump administration's agreed to release more than $5 billion in frozen education funding for public schools. The money had been previously approved by Congress for English language programs, student enrichment, and adult literacy, and other programs. Here in New York on Saturday, disability activists took over the lobby of Trump Tower to protest against the Trump administration's cuts to Medicaid. The New York Daily News reports 11 people were arrested at Trump Tower. Meanwhile, tens of thousands of people protested in 225 towns and cities as part of the family's first national day of action. It comes weeks after President Trump signed a bill that could result in 17 million Americans losing their health insurance. The protests were timed to coincide with the 35th anniversary of the Americans with Disability Act and the 60th anniversary of Medicaid, which is this Wednesday. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show in Gaza, where health officials say at least 14 Palestinians have starved to death over the past day, bringing the total to at least 147, including 88 children. Facing growing international pressure, Israel's allowed some additional aid into Gaza, including by airdrops. But the UN said it's still just a, quote, drop in the ocean of what's needed. Israel also said it would pause attacks for periods of the day in parts of Gaza, but the death toll keeps climbing. Earlier today, Israeli forces opened fire at two food sites. On Sunday, Israeli forces killed 9 Palestinians and injured 54 who had gathered along an aid convoy route in central Gaza. Earlier today, two leading Israeli human rights groups, B'Tselem and Physicians for Human Rights, issued reports accusing Israel of committing genocide in Gaza. Yuli Novak, the director of B'Tselem, said, quote, "What we see is a clear, intentional attack on civilians in order to destroy a group. I think every human being has to ask himself, what do you do in the face of genocide?" Unquote. On Sunday, Hamas chief Khalil al-Haya accused Israel of sabotaging ceasefire negotiations.
"There is no point on continuing negotiations under blockade, extermination, and starvation of our children, women, and people in the Gaza Strip. The immediate dignified entry of food and medications to our people is the real and serious expression of the viability of continuing negotiations."
This comes as officials in Gaza say more than 40,000 infants under 1 year old are at risk of a slow death due to a catastrophic shortage of baby formula. This is a Palestinian mother of six.
"This child, who is 4 years old, should weigh 10 kilograms, but he currently weighs 7 kilos and 400 grams, the highest level of malnourishment. This other child, Youssef, before the war, he weighed 13 kilos. His weight was excellent despite his illness. 13 kilos for him was great. Now he is 9 kilos. He is a skeleton. He is more malnourished than his brother."
Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu denies that there is starvation in Gaza.
"Israel is presented as though we are applying a campaign of starvation in Gaza. What a bold-faced lie. There is no policy of starvation in Gaza, and there is no starvation in Gaza."
For more, we go to Deir al-Balah in central Gaza, where we're joined by Iyad Amawi, a representative of the Gaza Relief Committee, a coordinator for local NGOs. You have said the famine is worse than bombardment. Can you describe, Iyad, what's happening on the ground right now?
Thank you for hosting me. The rapid deterioration in the malnutrition, we now suffering from the acute malnutrition for our children, especially and elderly people. Look, our indicators is very bad and rapidly decreasing hope for saving children's life. In June 2025, our statistics indicates that for more than 15% of our children under 5 years old is suffering from acute malnutrition. So this is a rapid deterioration, and we cannot, it's unbearable for us to save their lives, as the mothers for a while mentioned. The baby formula also the main struggle issue here in Gaza for most of our babies under the 2 years old. So in my thoughts, when I mentioned it's more aggressive than the bombardment because it's caused the death rapidly for especially children and elderly people who are suffering from chronic disease and need special nutrition, you can imagine our families here just survive over one meal maybe at the day. And most of our adults reduces their portion of the food to feed their children. So the famine is also aggressing more than the bombardments and will cause a huge amount of children rapidly lose their life. So the main categories now to save the children, in our statistics, we recorded that more than 5,000 babies suffering from acute malnutrition. This is percentage is more than 150% from the previous March.
So Israel says it's implementing humanitarian pauses, pauses of bombing in densely populated areas. Yet we have reports on Sunday Israeli forces killed 9 Palestinians, injured 54 who had gathered along an aid convoy route in central Gaza. That's something that has been happening regularly over the past months. Can you explain what's happening on the ground?
Of course. Look, the GHF warehouses, I mentioned before, it's a death trap. Yesterday, the Israeli occupation announced the truce for the humanitarian corridor and some operations for aid distributions. The people there still waiting, crowded thousands and thousands in the cross area and at the GHF warehouses and everywhere in the eastern part of the Gaza Strip. It's cited in the red zone that the Israeli mentioned this is a truce. When they achieve that region, they randomly shooting people in the Mitzrayim corridor also, where the people is still waiting there, and cause more than 14 martyrs and more than 50 casualties, most of them seriously injured. So over the ground, nothing tangibly changed from before, after the Israeli announced the ceasefire temporary for aid and distribution of aid. And also, the amount of food they let come into the Gaza, it's completely will not change the catastrophe here, because it's very less, more than our daily needs here.
As we're broadcasting, we've just heard that President Trump, who was asked by journalists at a news conference in Scotland if he agrees with the Israeli government's assessment that there's no starvation in Gaza. Trump replied, not particularly. He said he's seen them on TV and those children look very hungry. The U.S. president added that the U.S. is giving a lot of money to support the aid effort in Gaza. He recently was interviewed and said the U.S. had given $60 million in aid. Where was the thank you, he asked. Ehud Emawi, if you can talk about what's getting out there and your response to President Trump.
Look, Mr. President Trump promises Gazans multiple times, more than 20 times, he needs a peace for Gaza and he will bring a peace. But in our thoughts as a locals and as NGOs coordinator, Trump's mentioned that multiple times, but nothing tangible happened after each statement from the President Trump. So in our thoughts, it's just statements. But if they need a critical and to stop this genocide, we believe they can do urgently direct interventions and stop the genocide and pauses the catastrophe and force the Israeli to let the aids come in freely without Israeli restrictions. And if Mr. Trump needs to know if is there a real famine here, please let the international journalists come to the Gaza freely and remove the ban over the journalists from the international community. And those people can reflect also the reality. As NGOs coordinators, I mentioned multiple times, we have no time to wait a new political statements. We sending more than one human appeal to save our children's life. Gaza completely destroyed. Nothing here exists to stand in this circumstances. Mr. Trump must recognize that from the day, maybe we have no any amount of sweet waters because the full ban for the fuel to come into the Gaza freely caused suspension for the water desalination station here. So until this moment, nothing could change, just the statements in the media. So we hope something will change directly, and we are sending another human appeal for the international community to do interventions urgently and to open a real humanitarian corridor, not the airdrops. It's not cause any tangible things here.
And so what has been the policy change exactly? I mean, you have the GHF, they shut down all the other aid sites. The UN had an extensive aid sites of, what, hundreds where they distributed. That was shut down. Now they're allowing in what the UN calls a drop in the ocean. What would it require for you, for people to be fed there? And can you talk about the what you think the hopes are of a ceasefire, actually a permanent ceasefire?
That's a great question. Look, at the main point after the truce is mentioned from the Israeli side, we need a complete commitment from the Israeli occupation. After that, they let the numbers more than 500 trucks day by day for more than 2 weeks to entering the Gaza freely. After that, we can break the famine and stop this horrible scenes that others can see. And also, if they need to complete stop this starvation, they can. Look, the GHF warehouses is established at the south part of the Gaza Strip. They pushed most of us in the shrinked area, to the coastal area, just 30 square kilometers, and they need to feed us in this shrinked area, and there is no shelters, there is no guaranteed shelters also, and there is no available amount of trucks that can feed us freely without maybe facing threats day by day. You cannot imagine when the people is crowded over the trucks and maybe have a lot of aggression between the civilians here. The GHF causes something like fabric collapsation in the society because they force people to walk more than 15 kilometers to obtain some or seek some foods. It's unbearable for the women and children and elderly people and who have a disability to move to day by day to go to the GHF warehouse at Rafah. I know a lot of my peoples went there from the north and from the Gaza town. They walked more than 15 kilometers. That's horrible scenes. They cause for those civilians suffering more and more. This is a collective punishment, really.
Iyad Hamawi, I want to thank you very much for being with us, representative of the Gaza Relief Committee, coordinator for local NGOs, speaking to us from Deir al-Balah in central Gaza. When we come back, for the second time in less than 2 months, Israeli forces have raided a civilian aid ship in international waters that were bound for Gaza with baby formula, diapers, food and medicine on board. We'll speak with the flotilla organizer, Palestinian-American human rights attorney Huwaida Araf, just released from detention. Stay with us.
If you want to make the weather, then you have to take the blame. If sometimes dark clouds fill the sky and it starts to rain, and folks complain. And though your head may tell you run and hide, listen to your heart and you'll find me right by your side, because I keep faith. I keep faith
by Billy Bragg in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. For the second time in less than 2 months, Israeli forces have raided a civilian aid ship bound for Gaza in international waters. The Freedom Flotilla Coalition was attempting to break the Israeli siege by sailing the Handala ship to Gaza with baby formula, diapers, food and medicine on board. On Saturday night, Israeli forces seized the aid and detained the ship's crew of 21 civilians, including parliamentarians, human rights lawyers, and journalists. Just before the raid, one of the flotilla organizers, Hoveid Araf, spoke by phone with the Israeli forces.
And we are sailing lawfully in international waters where you have no jurisdiction, have no lawful jurisdiction. We're starving civilians. Any blockade that starves civilians or has a disproportionate harmful effect on a civilian population is illegal. And therefore, you have no authority to enforce an illegal blockade. And